it is really hard to wake everyone up. And it is also true that it's sort of like we have a small but critical mass. That's okay. Do you know that we don't need everyone in this room? Let's say all of you were sleeping and one person who was awake walked into this crowd. Because of the nature of humanity and the nature of that thing, you want to call it glow or magnetism or whatever, it spreads. It's contagious. It's amazing. And if you put that person on stage, like, let's say, John Lennon, then hello, we're waking people up in droves. And they don't even know why they're waking up. It's just like turning on a light bulb. Suddenly, it starts to make sense. And you've got to keep questioning everything. Question me, question Camelot, question everything. Do your research, though. Don't go around with opinions thinking you know it all or putting people down or going into a negative space because you don't want to hear it, because it doesn't fit some previous download that you got on planet Earth from your priest or your father or your mother or whatever the kind of thing. You know, bottom line is, it's all trash. You decide, okay? Because you're the ones here, and you have the equipment to do so. What are you capable of? Because that's really the bottom line, and that's why you have the oppression on Earth that you have at this time. Because there are ET races out there who want the resources, they want your genetics, and they want to control you. Why? Because they know that if the tables are allowed to be turned, then you may end up controlling them. Now, I don't recommend that, but I just want you to know that the potential of the human vehicle, as you may call it, is virtually unlimited if you view it in this fashion. You have two paths to choose from here on Earth at this time. One is angelic human, which is your natural progression and your re-evolution back to source, or you have the robotic Superman. And the robotic Superman is the path that the military-industrial complex, the secret side of it, has decided to go. I don't care what happens on planet Earth, I'm going to be on the front lines until the last minute. That's just my personality. Actually, I was supposed to be murdered for that. They wanted to kill me over that interview because of the way I handled it. And they were not happy with the fact that even though he denied what I asked him, there's a sense where you can ask a question as a journalist, and even when the person denies it, it's obvious they're lying. My job is to get the truth out, okay? That's the bottom line. Now, I don't violate secrecy either. I keep confidences, but I do put the truth out for you to know. It probably will get worse before it gets better, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel, in my view. And I'm out here on stage and talking to you and doing what I do in Camelot every day, and I work a lot. And I have to say that I'm doing this because I believe we have a future, that this rendition of humanity, this seeding, has every chance of making it through, that for the first time in all the seedings of humanity on planet Earth, that you guys are going to make it all the way, okay? And so I'm putting everything I have behind that, and I want to make sure that happens.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and that was a sort of introduction that I grabbed from my recent speech at the Chemtrails Conference. Not so recent, actually, it was June. But I finally got the DVD, and so I decided to put that out there, just a small cut, kind of quick look at what we were talking about at the time. We've got a very interesting guest tonight, Marty Leeds, and he has been with us in the past, so that some people will have possibly seen his video that I linked on the front page of Camelot. If you haven't, then I recommend that you go to the front page of Camelot and click on the Tarot deck, because I guess we're going to be talking about that. He's written a few books, and actually, Marty, are you there?
I am.
Okay, because we've got a short hour here. I do have another guest to back up this show at 8 p.m., so I want to make sure that we get enough in. Can you give yourself like a short bio of the key things that you would like people to be aware about you?
Sure. Yeah, I've got name is Marty Leeds. I have a website, MartyLeeds33.com. I've got two books out. One called Marty Leeds, it's Pi the Great Work, and then the other is Pi in the English Alphabet, Volume 1. And I've got Volume 2 is going to the editor hopefully this week. So that should be out within the next month or so. And basically the first book is looking at basically numerological principles, and that's Pi the Great Work. And then the Volume 1 and Volume 2 is a cipher I derived for the English alphabet that breaks it down, that basically shows that there's a mathematical structure behind the English alphabet. And this cipher, we probably won't go over it here, but just a few highlights on it. What it does is it encodes a symbolic representation of the Tetragrammaton, which is the holy name of God. You can put it on your hands. You can put it on the chromatic music scale. It actually correlates to the Hebrew alphabet. It encodes pi. There's just a bunch of things you can do with it. And so basically I have a web series out that's all free. You can go and check out any of the videos out that explains just a bunch of things you can do with it. I took it to the solar system, the name of Hermes Trismegistus, Jesus Christ, just anywhere I could, really. And this is I'm going to continue to put videos out here as the time comes. It's an ongoing series, so people can check it out. So yeah, that's basically me in a nutshell anyway.
That was very, very quickly done, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can go over the cipher a little bit here just so people have a foundation of what I'm talking about, if you'd like, and then we can kind of talk about the tarot. I know that's what we're kind of here to do. So the cipher is basically what I did is I separated the alphabet, the English alphabet, which is 26 letters, into 13 letters and 13 letters. And I used a Freemason symbol to actually put the corresponding numbers to the letters. And what this is an ancient art called gematria. It's numerology. It's, it's called a bunch of different things, really. But a lot of ancient cultures used this. And a lot of our holy books, I think the foundation of a lot of these holy books, Mahabharata, Rig Veda, things like this, and especially the Holy Bible, have a foundation of numbers, is basically. And so when people read these ancient books, they were actually looking at the numbers. And so this is what this cipher unveils. So splitting the alphabet in 13 letters and 13 letters, it goes A through M and then N through Z. And then basically what I did is I walked up the motif or the metaphor of creation in the Bible, which is 6 days of creation and then resting on the seventh. And so basically you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you basically walk back down to H, I, J, K, L, M being 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so this separating the alphabet in 13 letters and 13 letters gives you a symmetry. And so basically what you can do is just take those numbers and then put them onto the other side of the alphabet. So you have N-O-P-Q-R-S-T being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then U-V-W-X-Y-Z being 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so it's basically using a septenary system. And I derived this basically by just kind of reading Freemasonry and alchemy and just kind of understanding a lot of esoteric lore, illustrations, alchemical illustrations, things like that. So that's basically the cipher. And then what I did is actually one of the videos I did was the tarot deck. And we can kind of get to this, and I have, it's a 2-hour video and explains every single card, in the meanings that I got from them anyway, breaks it down symbolically and numerologically. And there's just a bunch of absolutely interesting things that are embedded in these cards. That have a lot of meaning, a lot of symbolism, that can apply to your own life. Because as far as I can tell, the tarot deck is a divinatory system that actually tells you about like the challenges or like the trials and tribulations that you'll go through on your own life. And that you are kind of the fool, if you will. And the whole idea is becoming the holy person. We can kind of get into that. I don't know where you want to take it at all, but. And hopefully that's a good enough rundown of the cipher and everything like that. I know I've gone over it quick, but I've got several videos, and the Pi in the English Alphabet Volume 1 goes over it, and then I go over the cipher again in a different way in this Volume 2, which will be out too. So there's a lot of references out there if you want to see it. And I go over it in every single video so you can at least get an abridged cipher before you start the videos. So.
Okay, well, let me say to the people listening that we do have a chat room. So if you haven't already gone to the chat room, there is a chat room on the front page of Camelot. Again, scroll down to the radio show icons, just click on live chat, and you just put in whatever name you want to use, whatever you feel like today, and then you'll be there. You don't have to do much other than that. So encourage people to get into the chat, and also as we go along here, feel free to ask your questions. First of all, Marty, I think, you know, I've studied the Tarot, and some people won't have studied the Tarot, so that some of this will be a bit Greek to them. So right. So would you or could you, I mean, I think saying that it's a journey in a sense, and that you do start out as the Fool, which is the card which is actually zero, and ultimately you come back to one, which is the Magus. That would be my way of stating it. And that's a whole, I actually studied the Crowley deck, so I may have studied a different version than you, but we can bat that back and forth. It can be a fascinating exploration, and there's also some pitfalls in all of it. So I would like to go down all those roads, but I would like to, at least to begin with, can you discuss kind of why you were drawn to the Tarot and what deck you decided to use and why?
I mean, honestly, I didn't really have that much of an interest in the Tarot before I came about the Cypher. And when I did, and I had worked with it quite a bit, and I started understanding the numbers pretty intuitively, I just knew that I had to look at the Tarot. I was never into, like, reading fortunes or anything like that. And so I ordered the A.E. Waite Tarot deck. And the reason I did is because I knew those illustrations fairly well just by seeing them around. And I knew that was the most popular deck. And so I went to that deck just because it was the most popular, and that way, if I was going to kind of decode this, I think that was the one that most people would know. Now, when I got to it, lo and behold, I was really taken aback, because every card all of a sudden had meaning for me, in a way that I wasn't expecting. So it was just really amazing. It's just something I wasn't interested in at all. And now, I mean, it's very important to me. It's a very legitimate divinatory system that can actually tell you about your own life and the things that you're going to go through, in your life. And also archetypal principles about our world. So I used the A.E. Waite deck, and that's the one I focused on. I know there's the Crowley deck, and I looked on Amazon. I know there's three or four decks at least that different people use. So, but that's kind of why I used the A.E. Waite one. So,
so that's why you used the deck you did. It is fascinating to hear you talk about it, kind of coming from my perspective. So did you, by chance, get into the I Ching, because there's a real synchronicity and the two work, kind of work together, at least in terms of the Crowley deck. I don't know if it stimulated you to go in the direction of the I Ching at the same time.
Well, yeah, right now I'm just looking into as many different things as I can, but it's kind of, I mean, I'm writing another book. Well, I'm finishing editing this next one, stuff like that. So I've been really busy. So I'm kind of taking one thing at a time. I definitely own the I Ching. I've read a bunch of it. I haven't made any correlations particularly to the Tarot deck and the I Ching, though I have heard that myself, that there is definitely a correspondence there. But the I Ching is something I'd really like to dive into more, but I just have other things on my plate right now that I kind of want to get through before I get that, because I'm sure once I get there, it's going to take me a while to get through it, just because it is a very dense book, and there's obviously a lot of, tons of wisdom in there, of course, I definitely want to take my time with it, I guess.
It can be an interesting complement, really, if you do one and then you kind of do the other, which is what I used to do when I was younger. And quite an educational process, because you sort of delve into different perspectives or ways of looking at things. And then if you cross correlate and see what one reading can be versus another. Now, in terms of the readings that you do, how do you do your readings? Do you want to talk about that?
I don't. Actually, I don't, I mean, not that I don't want to talk about it. I don't do any readings with it. I didn't approach it that way. I actually,
of yourself. You don't pull cards or anything to do a reading on yourself or for yourself.
No, I didn't approach it that way. The way I approached it is that I wanted to look at every single card and basically derive meaning from every single card, and what at least the meanings I saw. So as far as like pulling a particular card out on a particular day or anything like that, I really wasn't interested in that. Not that I wouldn't be later in life or something like that, but just my approach was it that I wanted to look at the numerology and the symbolism of every card and kind of take the deck as a whole. Now, I focused on the major arcana because of the first thing that caught my eye was tarot in this cipher is T is 7, A is 1, R is 5, O is 2, and T is 7. This equals 22. And so there's 22 cards in the major arcana. And so I wanted to focus on that right away. Another thing about tarot is it's obviously, as many people know, it's related to the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, the whole idea of at least as far as I saw, is that you were the fool. That's the idea, is that you're that first card, you're that fool. And the journey that you take through the deck is the journey through life. And we'll...
Okay,
on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years? and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall. There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Prayer X on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Marty Leeds about his video on the Tarot deck, and also, well, he's got a number of books out. Marty, to get back to where we were, so you don't use it for divination purposes, in other words?
No, I guess maybe not in the traditional way. I definitely have derived a ton of meaning from it, and I would say a spiritual meaning from it, but not in the classical way that that is used, like when people do fortune telling. No. I looked at it through the numerology, the symbolism, and then what each card actually, means to me. The reason I did this is because a lot of times when people look at things, in esoteric, the esoterica, occult stuff, any sort of spirituality, it's very interpretive. But, and of course a lot of this stuff is interpretive, but when you actually put numbers to it, then it gets a little bit more, less subjective. It gets a little bit more objective, and that you can actually point to different things and what their actual cards mean. So let me give you an example here. The Hierophant, the sixth card. The Hierophant actually, this sums to 59 when you do the numerical equivalents for it. So the equals 18, and then the Hierophant ends up being equaling 59. Now, why this is important is Jesus Christ in cipher, who is a man who ascended to the 33 degrees of Freemasonry, if you will. He became illuminated. He was once Jesus of Nazareth. He became Jesus Christ, which basically just means he reached enlightenment, just like all the other ones did. The Buddha, the Muhammad, etc., the Zoroaster. The Hierophant equals 59. Jesus Christ equals 59. So therefore, by doing the numerology of this, you have a direct correlation between this illumination and then what this card actually means. Now, if you actually look at the card and the A.E. Wei card, it's got symbols of illumination all over it. He's got the keys on the bottom, which talk about the silver and golden gate keys that the Egyptians talk about. He's got the wand. He's got three fingers pointing up, talking about the Trinity. Just a bunch of things like that you can actually, once you realize what you can correlate this to, then a lot of the other meanings, a lot of the other symbols within the card itself start to make a lot of sense, a lot of meaning. One of the things he has is a staff. Now, this staff is basically the Jewish menorah, except it's laid kind of flat. So it's six around one, making this seven. Well, this is the exact same thing that we did in the alphabet, in this cipher. We walked up to six and then rested on seven. And so he's holding this in this left hand, saying that he is knowledgeable about the idea of the 6 days of creation resting on the seventh. And so that's just like one example. That you can take another. Here's another example. The fool. Let me read this from the. This is from the Key to the Tarot deck. This is the little book that you get, the accompanying book. It says it's talking about the mystical quest that you go on. And it says, following this ambiguous but perhaps divinely inspired instinct to move forward, we may truly become the holy fool of the legend. Wise through faith in the future, newborn through a willingness to let go of what we have outgrown. So this idea of the fool being holy is a legend in the cards itself. When you look at the fool, fool in using the ciphers, F is 6, O is 2, O is 2, and L is 2. Well, the fool is only a fool because he doesn't know he's holy. Holy is H is 6, O is 2, L is 2, and Y is 2, the exact same numbers. And so it becomes a lot less interpretive, and it becomes very mathematical, if you will, if you understand it in this way. And then you get a deeper understanding of what each card actually is referring to. And so that's the way I approached it. Now, and then I did this with every single card. And of course, this is my interpretation of it. But I mean, I think I make a fairly good case about what, in general, what a lot of these cards mean. So you kind of get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. And it's an interesting approach, certainly very different. Did you study other interpretations of the cards?
Yeah, I read, I can't think of his name. There was actually a couple PDFs that I had read. Ospensky, I think, is his name.
Yes.
I read.
She studied under Gurdjieff.
Yes, studying under Gurdjieff, exactly. I was just going to say.
Actually, against Gurdjieff, just for the record.
What's that?
I said Ben rebelled against Gurdjieff in some ways.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read his breakdown of the Tarot deck. And then there was another. Well, I read a little bit of what Crowley talked about, and I'm not even sure where I got that. But honestly, if I may say this, I really don't care what anybody else thinks about it. What I was concerned about is, what does these things mean to me? If I had come about at a time period and just stumbled upon the Tarot deck and didn't have any internet, had no access to a lot of books or a library that was close by, what would I derive from these cards? That's kind of how I approached a lot of the material that I approached, whatever I looked at. So you can go into, oh, what's the history of this? What did these people say? What does this esoteric person say? What does Crowley say? But at the end of the day, since the cards are yours, ultimately it means, what does this stuff mean to you? And that's the most important thing. And so that's how I approached it. And I think it's a very refreshing approach in one way. And by doing this, I actually derive meaning from every single card. Like I said before, the Tarot deck really didn't mean that much to me before. I had no interest in it, but now, I mean, I love it. I'll always have one, you know. so that's the approach.
Well,
yeah, I took.
I mean, that's great, and that's it's actually kind of fascinating. And there's nothing wrong with it. You can certainly make these cards your own. Actually, you're encouraged to do so. I have to say, that's a certain part of the whole process. But there is such a volume of symbolism. That is basically a history of, well, it's a history of the occult for one thing, and certainly in a history of it, the Illuminati history, as well as the history of magic, what's called magic, et cetera, are all embedded in the cards. So the symbolism is also universal. But you're getting into the universal by way of mathematics. So you're not missing that. You're simply sort of focusing on mathematics and making that your sort of, cipher in a sense. That's why I asked you about the I Ching, because also, aside from the I Ching being mirrored in the Tarot, there's also astrology. And the Tarot, in a sense, is a composite of spiritual disciplines, the tarot, astrology, and the I Ching. So it's actually a mirror. It's actually a hall of mirrors, in a sense, that you can walk into and begin to see almost everything in there after a while. And it kind of depends how you use it, obviously, how you go down that road. But even you yourself, you're saying, you know, through the number 59, you got to the Christ and so on and so forth, which I guess I'm not sure the exact pattern where you're going through with the number 59, because I studied this tarot in depth, and I have to say that you know, the numbers, in other words, the numbers of the major arcana, is very significant, and those numbers in and of themselves have volumes of information associated with them.
Yeah, let me say a few things on this. First off, as I said right before the break, tarot is T is 7, A is 1, R is 5, O is 2, and T is 7. This equals 22. 22 is a very important number because you can divide 22 divided by 7 will give you a close approximation, a whole number approximation of pi. It's 3.142. There's 22 cards in that major arcana. Using this cipher, 7, S is 6, E is 5, V is 5, E is 5, and N is 1. This equals 22. Well, 22 divided by the word 7 is pi. It's 3.142. So this is what this – one of the things that this – and this is the central number that we stopped at. This is our Sabbath and our alphabet. This is one of the things that this cipher encodes. Now, one of the other things that this encodes is the Tetragrammaton. And so there's 22 cards in the tarot deck. Tarot equals 22. 7 equals 22, which the whole thing is based on. And then if you look at the card of Wheel of Fortune, it gives you the Tetragrammaton on there. It's He, Vav, He, Yod. It's right on that wheel. And then it's around Torah, which is, of course, rota, rotation, rotary, mentioning the Torah. And so you have the Tetragrammaton.
Yeah, I forgot that the Kabbalah is embodied in the tarot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all of these things are actually pointing to a fundamental base of I would say alchemy, really. But it's basically the natural religion that's in things, and it's the idea of the fool. It really is the idea of the fool. It's the same thing as the alchemical transformation or being reborn as a Christian. It's that path in life that you take to go from the lower nature to the higher nature. So there's astrology, there's symbolism, there's numerology. There's, you know, all of these things are in these cards. And that's what I, that's how I approached it. So it wasn't just the numbers, you know. So this Wheel of Fortune card, let me show you this. Wheel of Fortune card. First off, you have the man, bull, eagle, and lion, which is, of course, these are the four fixed signs of our zodiac. They've all got they've got books open and they're like writing in the books. And of course, this is the idea, at least as far as I'm concerned, the idea of everything that you do in life is recorded by the memory of God, if you will, or the Akashic records. And so these four fixed signs, which is, you know, this is heralded and it's seen in Christianity. Revelations talks about this. It's, you know, you see it all over. When you look at the numerology of the tarot, And the He, Vav, He, Yod. So it's got the Tetragrammaton, it's got the Tarot in the center here. What you can do is actually, so Tarot is once again, T is 7, A is 1, R is 5, O is 2, and T is 7. The Tetragrammaton is He is 5, Vav is 6, He is 5, and Yod is 10. If you square these numbers, so we're going to square 7, 1, 5, 2, 7, which is Tarot. This would be 49, 1, 25, 4, 49. We square the numbers for the Tetragrammaton, this holy name of God, which is what this cipher, the English cipher encodes. That would be 5, 6, 5, 10 being 25, 36, 25, and 100. So basically we took the numbers, the numerology of the word Tarot, and the numerology of the holy name of God, the He, Vav, He, Yod, the Tetragrammaton. We squared these numbers. You add them up, and it gives you the number 314, or the numbers of pi. Now, what's even more interesting is that you have the Celtic cross, right? And the Celtic cross is like the classic cross that you make. It's the most used in when they do fortune telling sort of thing. If you take the first six cards of the deck, so you lay the Fool out, the Magician, the High Priestess, the Empress, the Emperor, and the Hierophant, which is that Jesus figure, It was equal 59. Jesus Christ equals 59. You add up those six cards, it equals 314. So that's the first six cards in the deck to give you the same number that you get on the Wheel of Fortune card. And so this shows you how you can correlate between using the numbers. And then not only that is that Wheel of Fortune card is actually very focused on the fact that you have to do a numerology to fully understand these cards, I would say. And that's what I got from it anyway.
Okay. Now I do see some discrepancy though, I have to say, because my understanding, at least in terms of the Crowley Tarot, the floor is actually Christ, the Emperor, and the upside down Christ, which is the sacrificial Christ, which is the 13. Okay, so the Hierophant is not Christ, but this is interesting that you think that, and possibly there is literature to back that up from a different perspective. Certainly the Hierophant is the teacher. It also symbolizes the family. So that's interesting. There is some interchangeability that you can do with some of these numbers. I also want to say that Michael Tellinger, I think his name is Willem de Swart. He's South African. And sure. And they worked on a book which is called I believe it's called The Sacred Numbers of God. And he's a very interesting guy. He started seeing, he couldn't sleep because he started seeing information about numbers coming to him every night. And he was an engineer, I think, by trade, who was sort of semi or starting to retire, but he was still working. And he couldn't stop himself, and he started getting all this information about numbers. And so he worked with Michael Tellinger and became a friend of his as well. And he's a lovely man. And he, again, wrote this book that's all about the numbers and what they symbolize, and gets into the Tarot symbolism because you can't avoid it. It all is kind of encased in that deck. And there's a brilliance about it, which is really quite fascinating. But I think, you know, that you have a sort of process that you're going through, and you've come to these conclusions in terms of numerology from a certain perspective. It's interesting that, for example, I don't see the Christ number being the same. I guess we've got a commercial, and we'll be right back with Marty Beats.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs and artillery batteries not included.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, had completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard hitting and in your face, America.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Marty Leeds. So, Marty, I understand the differences, come from different decks, but it actually doesn't, I don't think, matter, because ultimately you're talking about symbols on the outside that relate to you as an individual, and what the meaning is most important when it resonates with you. So, in terms of your video and in terms of where you've gone with this, the most important thing that I think is quite interesting is that you didn't use it as a divination tool. And so I understand you studied the tarot, but you didn't, in other words, you studied the meaning of the tarot, applied it in sort of, it couldn't have been specific to the day and time, you know what I'm saying? Because the difference between doing it that way and I guess, and I'm kind of asking a question within this. In other words, you didn't ask it anything and then get answers.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how to answer that. I actually kind of think I did, but
okay. Well, then go ahead and because I'm curious, because you initially you didn't pull cards in answer to the questions. You just went in sort of a research trip through the cards.
I kind of asked intuitively each card what I thought it meant, and so yeah, I guess that's the best way to say that, right?
Okay, but so you got sort of the information, you interpreted the card, but interpreting a card and then versus, the nature of divination being where you apply it to your own journey at this time and place where you are in the world. This is where if you begin to use it in a divinatory way, what happens is there is a learning experience because you can test it. You can actually, in other words, if you get a certain reading and you're looking at a certain situation and then later on the reading actually comes true, if you interpret it correctly or if you miss something, you know what I'm saying here?
Yes. Let me see if I can answer this. I think every card can be accounted for at any moment of your life if you understand all the cards. And so I guess I just took a different approach to it. So, you know, going through your day, there could be a point where, you know, you are the fool at that point, or that you're letting the devil get a hold of you. Or if you're being too vain, you realize that, oh, that's, or if you're worried too much about material possessions or something like that, oh, well, that's the tower that's acting right now. Or, you know what I mean? Or if like, oh, I need to be a better person. I want to lift myself up and off out of the wheel of fortune, off of the wheel of fate. And I'm not doing that right now. So therefore, that wheel of fortune card is coming to work right now. And of course, your mind is always moving. It's always, you know, it's that chatter that you try to get rid of, or you know, to calm down in meditation. And so that the whole idea is that these archetypal principles are playing through your mind all the time. And so for me to just like pull one card out and say like right now that this is what the card I should focus on, to me is kind of like, at least for me anyway, I'm not going to say this about anybody else, but it would seem like to negate the whole purpose of the deck. And that's how I see it, because these are all principles of your life. And of course, your life is just a fractal. Today is a fractal of your entire life. And so the morning of your sunrise and the your birth and the death at the sunset is that whole deck could be played out today and is being played out right now. And that's how I saw it. And I would say that's a more holistic way of looking at it. Because, and this is why the fool is a circle, or it's the zero. Because the fool doesn't know that he's holy, that he's one with everything, that he's one with every principle in this deck right now. And that's how I look at it.
I understand. But let me just say this, that when people do readings, and there are lots of different kinds of readings that can be done, for themselves, this is, they lay out more than one card. There's almost never just a one card reading. There's several cards, but it's not the entire deck. I will say that. It's just an interesting approach. What I would say, though, again, is that from moment to moment, what you're really saying is that you used your mind and you would take incidents and then you would sort of bring to mind a card to interpret that particular moment in a particular day is what
you're saying. Sure. Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just another way of operating. And if that works for you, great. It's just an unconventional way of doing it. So I was just curious as to the process. So,
I think we need kind of unconventional ways to look at this stuff too, because how many charlatans are out there that are using this deck, that are taking $20 for a reading from somebody that are just doing it to make some money or something like that, but they're using the conventional or traditional ways. It's just like saying that if you're reading the Bible, well, the traditional way to read the Bible is just to read the surface level story, right? Or it's just like the traditional way is to follow this storyline that somebody told you about how the fact that you have to like worship the Christ, the actual man. But if you actually throw all that away, you throw the convention away, you throw the status quo away, then this stuff starts to make sense. And that's the approach that I took. And so the questions you're asking about the idea of just using it in this conventional way, I mean, I think the best way to do is to throw out that status quo. And I actually think that's what the tower card is saying in one way, is saying you use this however you want to use it. I think that's the genius and the wisdom behind the cards, actually. I think this is what the cards are saying.
Yeah, I think that you're also misinterpreting what I'm saying here. But nonetheless, what we're talking about is self-reading. And when you do self-reading, you're not going to a person outside yourself. You are doing it. And people do use the cards in whatever way that they decide to use them. So, there isn't anybody sort of holding a ruler over your head making you do certain things. You know, people will do unconventional things regardless, and I can guarantee you that in individual readings, people will have taken, you know, massive liberties in every which way. And that goes with the I Ching. It goes with any form of divination when it's used for the purposes of reading the self. Again, because you're in dialogue with the self. And so how you do that, it's not even a question about conventionality versus unconventionality. It's simply you and how you choose to and what you're attracted to, what resonates, what you decide to move with. Now, what you've done is you have, though, in a certain sense, sort of come at it from a different perspective, and you also have brought this sort of a heavy numerology, but a different kind of numerology, it seems to me, than one that I'm familiar with, you know, because and I don't know, where you're getting it exactly. You know, the numerology that you used to kind of focus on this cipher, like, why did you focus on that particular thing? Is it because pi, for example, you had a more mathematic, like a mathematician's type of mind?
No, I mean, the cipher, well, I mean, like I said, I didn't have any interest in the tarot deck until I came upon the cipher. And one of the things that the cipher does is it encodes this holy name of God, as far as I'm concerned. And so it has a lot less to do with pi. I focus around pi a lot because pi seems to be this transcendental number, and the whole idea is, well, transcendence, right? I mean, so the reason I focus around pi is because it seems like pi is encoded in so many of these things. Like I just mentioned, the numbers of pi are encoded in the Celtic cross within the first six cards. It's encoded in the name Tarot itself. The cipher encodes the Tetragrammaton, which encodes pi. You know, so that, I mean, so if there's any sort of like mathematical way, I mean, most people consider this numerology, and that's fine with me, you know. But when you look at this, you know, speaking about kind of like convention or unconventional, I think the people that conventionally like read these stuff that whoever it was that actually put this deck together, they put it together numerologically. They put it together astrologically. They like just like the Holy Bible is what I'm saying. So the people that are actually out there reading these cards and not looking at it this way are only getting a surface level, in my opinion now, of what these cards actually mean. So the cipher that, you know, that I've derived, I'm trying to show as many ways as I can where this works and how it works. And so there's lots of information out there to show, you know, what this cipher means and how it constructs the English alphabet in one way. And so to me, it's very important if we're looking at words itself, that if words have a numerical foundation, that we should focus on that. And I think the cards themselves are telling us that.
Okay. When you talk about cipher, though, specifically, are you talking about you know, what would be your definition of the cipher?
Of the cipher I've written in the books?
Yeah, if you could put it in I understand you might have gone into depth about this, but if you're talking about, you know, using this as your kind of key, right?
Yeah.
The cipher.
Yeah, that's basically it's like a cryptogram or like an achromatic cipher or cipher. But to put it simply, it's basically just putting numbers to letters, you know, and this is gematria. And we know that the Greeks did this, the Hebrews did this, and that sort of thing. So the idea that there is one for the English alphabet is.
Okay. We're winding this up. I'm sorry. Can you give your website?
Sure, it's MartyLeeds33.com, and I also have a web series that's on YouTube as well.
Okay, great. I'm not sure the music kind of came out there for a moment. Now disappeared. But at any rate, we're winding up the hour, and I'm sorry that's so short. It would be great to go into this in more depth. I'm sure that people are at least getting a taste of your approach and certainly can watch the video and maybe go to your website. So thank you very much for coming on, and let's try to do this again in the future and go into more depth.
All right, thanks.
to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
More be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Okay, this is Kerry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And we are going to be talking now to Madison Eli. And she is, well, it's an interesting story. And what I'd like everyone to do is, first of all, go to the front page of Camelot and click on the link that I put. Hopefully it worked. Where her name is, there's a bio there, and that should take you to her Facebook page. So you'll get an idea of who we're talking to. And that's also a way that you can get in touch with her if you should decide that what she has to say to you today is of interest. And so I'm going to give you a sort of a brief introduction for her and mostly let her introduce herself. So just hold one second here. I have to say, I just met Madison, and I was so sort of struck by her story that I decided to have her on the show in a very impromptu manner. And so the bottom line is that she's 22 years old. You can call her an indigo or whatever kind of, sort of child of the future that you would like. I am actually calling her, I sort of gave a random title to this whole sort of thing that we're going to do here and called it Indigo Rebellion. Because of some of the things that she's told me about and that she's done, and that's sort of more of a poetic, I guess, moniker, if you will. She calls herself an avid traveler. She has, I've seen her kind of bio here, but I'm going to say what we talked about was what her experience has been growing up in America and with respect to coming on board with a very clear understanding of, let's say, to some degree, her ET heritage and how that has caused her to interact and caused her to, have difficulty within her own family and ultimately in society. And I just find it a fascinating study because, as many people will know, Camelot is considered to be somewhat on the fringe even to this day. And that's as it probably should be for the moment, although we are probably moving very quickly into the mainstream by virtue of things that are going to be happening in 2012, here at the end of 2012, the growing consciousness of who we really are and all of the things that Camelot has been talking about now for years coming to the fore. And so Madison, in her own way, has had to fight her own fights and her own battles even at this young age. And so I wanted her to share a very specific experience, and we are going to expose a particular organization that in a certain sense, perhaps unknowing parents through no fault of their own are sending their children to and need to be cautioned about. So that's kind of the overview and the introduction that I have. Madison, do you want to give yourself an introduction for the listener?
Sure. I basically just, I graduated school in Switzerland, and when I was over there, we had a worldwide community with 52 nationalities, and basically I started, and along with my classmates, we started waking up to the reality that the world was controlled by someone other than us. It's like you realize that your country is now saying you're going to school with your roommate, And it's like, well, who's at war? Because we like each other and we're living together. And I think it just, an awakening started happening, and I wanted something more and something real. And I started searching. And the more I started searching, I started realizing that people don't want the truth. A lot of them don't. And that a lot of them will throw it back in your face and, you know, call you crazy. And I started meeting resistance at home. And I started, you know, kind of getting in a panic about all the things I was learning and feeling a little hopeless. And it was met by a lot of resistance with the people around me who said they love me. And that's kind of how I got swept into the situation in 2011.
Okay, and so, just so people understand, at this time, what we're going to be doing is talking about a certain organization and also experiences with your parents that drove you or somehow to be put into this sort of institution, for lack of a better word, and then also how you got out and your sort of position of peril that you're in at the moment. And this is just extremely important information for people to listen to and to take on board and consider. And this is one person's experience, needless to say, and she's going to tell the story to the best of her ability at this time. So with that, Madison, can you talk about what it was in your family, how it was, what you were doing and how they viewed it and why they, and what choice they decided to make in reference to you? Kind of tell it as a blow by blow story as you told me originally.
Okay. So basically I started becoming, more aware, and I was traveling the world, and I got to a point where I wrote a 15,000 word essay about, you know, the situations around the world, and I would get different links and resources for people to do expanded research on. And I actually came across, through my travels, when I was traveling to Australia, a book that referenced Lloyd Pye's book, Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I read it, and I actually reached out to contact him, and he invited me to join him at the International UFO Congress in 2011. And while I was there, basically my whole world became a lot more real, because instead of, you know, being younger and having all these ideas about what you think is true, you know, greater reality, at this conference, it really picked up for me, and I really got very much more into it and very much more secure in my beliefs and stance within this reality and this, you know, community. And so when I was there, I started having different contacts with people. I got some books that I could read, and a lot more information was available to me. And after the conference, I had my brother, my older brother, pick me up, and he was actually living, he's living in just south of the border of Arizona in Mexico. And I went down to visit because it was, you know, an easy enough trip down when I was in Arizona. And I kind of put on the pressure, I guess you could say, in terms of telling him what was going on about, you know, forced vaccinations and all these things that were looming on the horizon for humanity. And when I would talk about it, he got really mad at me, especially because I went into where they were working, and I started basically, because, you know, they wanted to have another baby, and I was just nervous about the vaccinations, and I was kind of trying to tell them about it. And we got in a big fight before he took me to the airport so I could fly home to Washington State. We got in a really big fight because he wanted me to just stop talking about this stuff. Why would you stop talking about this? It was just complete, I don't know if it was denial or it was knowing that he didn't want me talking about, or regardless, he was really, like, angry about it. And I mentioned to him that I was going to go to California, and I wasn't going to have anything to do with him or my father anymore, because I was so frustrated with being treated with, you know, disrespect and annoyance, and, you know, them telling me I'm crazy or a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. I was just over it, and I was like, you know what, just as soon as I can, don't be surprised. You know, this is basically the direction you're headed in terms of our relationship. And so I, you know, got taken to the airport, and I flew back to Washington, where I was greeted by my father, who was just completely, unaware about all of, maybe he's aware of it, but, you know, he hides it with me, about this reality. And I was really excited about it. And so I just kind of was quiet. And then as I started talking, as I started, you know, getting more and more excited about what I was working on, which is a show, which Lloyd Pye was, you know, kind of helping me send me in that right direction to getting the show produced. My father, I could energetically feel that he could tell that he was losing his hold on me, his grip. When you get raised by money, a lot of the time there's certain ways that they can make you think that you need it. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have that experience. So I was really excited because, you know, this was my way out, I guess you could say, of that control. So I kept working, and he started, I guess, I don't know how direct I want to get all about this right now, but basically he started getting a lot more aggressive in his means of keeping me there.
Well, we can say the part about, you know, that he started to say, I guess, accuse you of taking DMT. Is that it?
Well, that happened after this. So basically, yeah, I didn't know this at the time, but yes, my father and my brother were in cahoots, if you will, doing research online about Lloyd Pye, and I guess something came up about DMT. And so their idea was at the UFO Congress, we were all just, you know, sitting in a dark room or something, getting high on DMT and connecting with aliens and, you know, getting way too wrapped up in this false reality. So that's kind of when it all started. And so I started just feeling this inner, like, terror, I guess you could say, of like realizing that they really don't care what's going on. I need to, you know, worry about how I'm going to handle it rather than how I'm going to handle it for everybody. And I got really afraid, and my dad and I got into a, you know, a very serious altercation, if you will, that literally scared the living, you know, everything out of me. And I fled from Washington State at the speed of light. I drove like a crazy person. I had a clean driving record until this, and I was driving as fast as I could to Southern California to get away from everything and, you know, kind of start a new life away from this control and away from the oppression.
Okay, and before we continue, let's just clarify that Lloyd Pye hasn't even taken DMT, right?
No, it's weird media that they just, I don't even know. I tried to look it up later and I didn't even know where they were finding this. This is just like some stupid website that was saying that that's the reason why he's into the whole aliens flow.
Not realizing that he's a scientist and he has this Lloyd Pye, just for the listener, in case you don't know, you can look him up. But obviously, he's been in contact and done interviews with Camelot as well. But he has the Star Child skull, and he's spent dedicated his whole life to proving that it is the skull of an ET, you know, off worlder. So, and proving it by DNA. So he's very scientific in what he does. And he does never use DMT. Okay, I just wanted
It's one of those things where people don't even want to see the evidence. They just want to, like, give a reason for why he would be interested in aliens. And that's I guess, what the media decided to spin it off as. I told them about this when this was happening, and they're going, what? I think this was the first they'd ever even heard of DMT. I had to keep bring them up to speed on what it was.
But to continue, so you drove, you were driving to Southern California, and then what happened?
This might sound crazy to some people, but I basically had a voice in my head say that I was going to fall asleep. And I was completely shocked, and before I even had time to react or be afraid, I was waking up and my car was spinning. This was in Stockton, California, and I had hit a semi truck and I was, you know, off the road, and I just kind of, you know, I was blown away by it because I had never been in a crash like that before, and I didn't, you know, I was always uber paranoid that I was going to crash or something, but then when that happened, it just kind of threw me off. So I basically, to make a long story short, I called a friend who, his mother happens to be my father's business partner, and they have a organic farm in Petaluma, California. And so she came to pick me up, take me to the farm, because I did not want to, the last thing I wanted to do was call my dad and have him come save me, because that was, you know, that was just going to make a whole lot of problems worse. So when she comes to get me, she already knew, you know, about how my father is, I guess you could say, from business, a business standpoint. And she was, she picked me up, and I was so, I guess, in such a panic state. I was like a zombie. You know, I, like, there was no color in my face. I was just not really able to get out of bed for a couple of days. I wasn't taking care of myself. And she comes in one day and is just like, you know, what is going on? Like, she's like, I had, you know, her husband call my father, his business partner, and say, we'll get a restraining order on you if you come anywhere near here. I don't know what you've done to this girl, but she's in a whole nother kind of state of mind right now. And, I know that that's, you know, it's one of those things where, I started talking about some abuse from childhood, some, you know, abuse on all kinds of different levels. And since he has a big corporate image to uphold, that was not working too well for his image. So, you know, he's thinking of ways, how can he shut me up? And, of course, my, you know, older brother is, you know, supported by that, you know, family money, if you will, and the family company. And so it was in their best interest, just like all the world works. It's all about money and, you know, it was in their best interest to make me stop talking, to shut me up and to, you know, throw me off that path. Obviously it would be in their best interest if they want, if, you know, that company's money is where they are depending on income from. So, cause my, you know, they're, of course, you know, the CEOs are all about image, all about upholding, everything. And that's one of the problems with me talking, especially about my alien heritage. For anyone listening, when I was younger, I had blonde, platinum blonde hair that just pretty much stuck up on my head like feathers, you know, and it was very unique. People would always, you know, gravitate towards it when we'd travel, especially in different countries, and comment to my parents on how dare you dye your child's hair, how dare you perm your child's hair, she's so young. And I know that my father, I know this from word of mouth, that my father would get kind of irritated by it. And later I come to find out that I actually have what you could call, you know, maybe a DNA difference, or, you know, a little bit maybe different DNA from other people.
There's no doubt. And you know, you can also say that you did run into Cynthia Crawford, who many people will know who've dealt with Camelot, and that she saw you immediately as what she called a hybrid. In my view, we're all hybrids, but a specific kind of hybrid. And can we put the photograph on the net? Have you done that yet?
Yeah, absolutely. I can be put on the net, yeah.
Okay, because that would be lovely for people to see. So I'm going to add that to your profile.
Anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendence process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Madison Eli about her recent life story, so to speak. And we're at a very interesting juncture. So I've put the link in the chat for those of you who want to see it. And I've also linked it. If you go to the Camelot front page of Camelot, all you have to do is click on archives and you will show archives. And if you go there on the show archives, you will, and on the right hand side under December, you will see Madison Eli second hour guest. And then if you click that, and scroll all the way down, you will see her bio and a picture of her blonde hair and how it actually does look like it's dyed, but this was natural. So it's quite fascinating. So go ahead, Madison.
Yeah, and it was funny because my hair, it was bright blonde, but it would grow in black. Like the roots would be really dark. So that's why it looked very dyed and very fake, but it was very real. I wanted to go back to what you said about Cynthia Crawford. She's actually, I met her at the UFO Congress as well. I was walking by her booth and she just kind of stopped me and said, I recognize you. And I was like, what? And she goes, not from here, from the ships. And I was like completely, you know, morphed into like, whoa. And she, you know, kind of told me about, you know, her story. And I guess it's, you know, a bit similar to what happened to me with, in terms of, you know, being experimented on and having some, you know, some very heightened abilities of, you know, our human potential. We have all these psychic abilities and all these things, but, you know, I guess it was heightened naturally for me all my life because of this experimentation. So it was very liberating to talk to her and to kind of, I guess, understand who I was more. And that, I guess, also gave me my very determined stance on what's going on. I didn't want to back down with, you know, in the face of, you know, my family telling me you've lost your mind and you're addicted. It was addiction to DMT. That's what they thought was going on, that I was just completely addicted.
Okay. Have you ever taken DMT?
Yeah, I took DMT at that time. I had taken it in July of 2010. And it was a one-time thing, and I didn't even see aliens on my DMT trip. So,
okay.
So
at this point, let's just make the transition so that we, because I want to make sure we have time for people to ask you questions, and believe it or not, we only have like a half hour, a little over a half hour, a little less than a half hour with commercials to the show. So can you talk about what happened then? How did you end up down in this this Mexican institution?
Okay, so basically when I was taken to that farm, I'll speed this up, I was in a very afraid state of mind, panic, kind of acting like a chicken with their head cut off. I didn't really know at this point how to fully break away. How was I going to start a life down in Los Angeles? I was afraid, so I tried to get my insurance check for my car as soon as possible so I could get another car and continue down to Los Angeles. And when I got my insurance check, I went and got a car, and it was a small car. It was a lot cheaper than my other car so that I could just pay it all off and just have some extra money and go. And when I was driving back, I kind of was about to miss the turn and to the farm, and I was like, oh, no, that's the turn. So I basically swept, kind of tried to do like a late turn, and this car was so small that it literally flipped. And a helicopter came, and pedestrians came, or not pedestrians, but people stopped and came and to see what was going on and to help get me out of my car. It completely flipped. Now, I know that when that happened, there was intervention because I was headed straight for a stop sign and I didn't hit it. The police came. They didn't write me up a ticket even. It was surreal. I just kind of crawled out and I was so confused. It felt almost paranormal, the flip, everything about it. It was like, how did that happen? Like, I didn't feel like I was, you know, driving that crazy. I was never before one to drive. I mean, my record was clean. I didn't even have, you know, speeding tickets before this. So my whole reality just started getting really like, it was weird to me. It was like, who is this person? What's happening to me? Why am I, you know, having these crashes? And I think it was a reflection of my, you know, discombobulated state of mind at the time. So the police, they didn't write me up for a ticket or anything, but they're like, can we give you a ride, you know, home? And so just, you know, a little ways away was the farm in Petaluma. So they take me to the farm, back to the farm. And when I got back, I think, you know, the business partner and his wife of my father were just kind of like almost, I think, scared at this point of like, what's going on with this girl? She's, you know, out of control. Maybe she has lost her mind. Maybe what they're saying is true. I don't know. It's not like they said this to me, but basically it was decided that my dad was going to come down and get me and bring me back to Washington. And I felt kind of helpless at this point, kind of like, I just didn't know what else to do. I didn't know where else to turn. I was in pain, a lot of pain from the crashes that I wasn't even like admitting to myself or wanting to deal with at the time. So basically he comes and gets me. And I start, you know, kind of talking to other people about what's going on. And he, you know, he was getting more and more, I guess, stressed out about what is she saying? Why is she saying this? It's like he literally would tell people it was like a night and day difference between me, because it was just like I went from being kind of passive about everything to very like warrior like of, I want to get this done. I want to get this information out there. I want to wake the world up. I want to, you know, wake my family up. And so he brought me back, and it was kind of like, they kind of, you know, I kind of started talking about maybe going to Mexico again and just, you know, relaxing and just not, because I didn't know what to do. I was just, you know, like in a very frantic state of mind. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll go just chill out at my brother's for a bit. At least I'll be away from my dad. So I didn't realize that there was basically a family conspiracy going on. So when I flew down to Mexico, my brother says, I'm doing business in Guadalajara, which is the art capital of Mexico. And being an artist, they knew that would entice me. So they said, do you want to go down, maybe do some shopping and look at the art? And, of course, I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So right when I was brought down to Puerto Peñasco, which is in Sonora, just south of Arizona, I was hooked up. My brother, I guess, was in a new company of some regenerative cell therapy, and they basically hooked me up to this machine, and they said they were, you know, giving me rejuvenation or something, and I was just like, okay. And they brought me to the bed, and they basically gave me something so I'd fall asleep and get a good night of sleep, as they wanted me to get. And it was just, you know, basically like having an IV hooked up, and they put something in it, and I don't know what. So I fell asleep, and the next day they take me to Guadalajara, and we go out to dinner, and after dinner they take me to this place, and my sister-in-law and my brother's business partner's wife, they kind of go off to go shopping, and they're like, oh, the girls are going to go shopping, and I'm sitting there like kind of like, something's wrong, because why wouldn't I be going with them? Like, something's weird. But I just was, I kind of was so often, you know, hanging by my brother, so I was kind of okay with it. And so we go to this house, and there was like a bunch of seats facing a certain way. It kind of looked like a classroom, and I went to the bathroom, and then I walked out, and that's when I was looking at this, and my brother, they said he was going to do business, and so he was in the back room with where I'd gone to the bathroom and then walked out of. Basically, I kind of asked his business partner, what is this place? And he said it was a school for adults. And I was like, huh? And I kind of tried to walk out of the area, and they kind of were like, I guess, stopped me and basically were saying, this isn't Puerto Peñasco, this is Guadalajara, you can't just walk on the streets here, come back inside. And so I did, and then they told me, okay, I think he's done now, let's go back to the back room. So we walked back there, and my brother, basically, right when I get in there, they close the door, and there was a bunch of, you know, big burly Mexican guys standing there. And my brother starts telling me that, basically, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. You're going to go to a farm or a fruit farm or a ranch just outside of the city. And I said, what? And then, you know, how long? And he said, well, it's up to you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's up to me. Like, what is this? And I freaked out, and I started trying to run out of the room, but all the doors were locked. And he said, either I can go with you, or you can just, you know, there's a bus going right now. You can just go on your own. And I basically was like, you know, F you. I don't want you to take me if you're sending me to this place. Like, obviously I'm going on my own. I don't want to see you. And I was pissed. And so they take me, and they put me in this car in the middle seat, and there's people around me, and they bring me outside, outside of the city, probably 45 minutes outside of Guadalajara. And I arrive, and there's big gates, and I get there, and they immediately bring me and there's a girl that spoke English, and she became my guardia, as they call it. And that's the person that tells you all the rules of the place, tells you what you can and can't do, is always watching you, is always making sure that you're learning and obeying the rules that you've been given. And, you know, kind of, she was my translator at first as well, because when I first went there, pretty much all I could say in Spanish was pollo par llevar. I didn't speak Spanish. And so, but I had to learn, because that's all pretty much everyone there only spoke Spanish, including my madrina, which is Spanish for basically godmother, which is sponsor. And so this girl starts telling me my rules. Well, first I was brought back into this, and this is just like a concrete hell that it feels like. It's just this concrete, you know, room. There is two rooms. One is where we would eat, and one was where we would have meetings. And then there was a washroom where we would hand wash our clothes every day. And then there was another room where the bathroom was. and then one other room where there was basically a closet where some people's stuff would be that, you know, like our rolls every day, we would get a roll with a towel around it, and that was put in there, and then we'd get it every day. But basically they brought me into the bathroom. They immediately have you take all your clothes off, do 3 squats. And then they start, you know, they force you. I remember they walk up and try to force me to sign this piece of paper that basically signed away my rights to them. And I, you know, he hands me the pen. I just drop it on the ground. Like, I'm not signing this. You've got to be kidding me. And then, you know, they pick it up and he starts yelling at me like, you will sign this and you will not do things that you think here and you will obey, and, you know, yelling. And I'm like, just kind of scared out of my wits. So I signed it, and they, you know, they put on me someone else's, you know, bra and underwear, and then they give me a big shirt to put over, and they, you know, basically tell you, now you listen to this girl and she's going to tell you how things are going to be here. So everything, to give you some of the ideas of the rules there, everything before you ask or do anything, you have to say, Tatumi dad, Samana fiesta, and then it's whatever you want, eat a buena voluntad. And this place, by the way, is called Las Huertas. It's a group in Mexico called Poder Despertar. And they have different, they're basically like concentration camps, people that were there when they would be up at the podium, which is a place where you got to go and be honest and vent. Everyone would say this is like a concentration camp. Like, everyone hated their life in there. I would spend every single night crying myself to sleep and just wishing that, you know, someone would come take me out. And they started messing with me about the alien thing right away. And I knew that was pretty much what was, you know, trying to be beat out of me, which is this idea that, you know, aliens are here. Before I went, my dad was telling everyone that, you know, oh, she's just completely lost it. She thinks there's aliens, not just that exist, but they're actually here on Earth. And I'm just like, well, yeah, like, this is definitely what I believe. But in their mind, that meant that I was addicted to DMT, because I was, you know, some people, if they get too into DMT, they're just trapped between the worlds, and they're just, you know, but I'm very much of this world, but I'm also have, you know, DNA of a different world. So I'm always in this other world. And I always have been, before I ever did any kind of psychedelic, before, you know, even when I was a kid, this was how it was. But after the UFO Congress, I got a lot more strong in my position because I saw the reality behind it. So basically while I was there, I just thought it, I mean, they would ask me like, oh, why don't you have the aliens come and get you out? And I would tell them, you're going to have to keep me here forever if that's what you're trying to get me to stop talking about, because, you know, the aliens, they do exist, and I'm never going to tell you that they don't, because that's just.
Okay. And can you tell people, and you're doing a great job, but tell people what happened in regard to the eating and the punishments.
Okay. So basically this place, they claim to be there to help people get over their sicknesses. But the way they do it is brutal. And when I first got there, I was immediately, it was hard for me to eat. They give you this big plate. Everything is outside. So all the vegetables and stuff that you're eating is literally just sitting outside. There's, you know, different rodents crawling all over it, and there's, you know, of course it was made with chemicals. And so I was got there and I was immediately not really able to eat, especially not as fast as they want you to eat, because it's kind of like a race. Like, you have to eat as fast as you can and then, you know, clear and then get up. And I was immediately starting to lose my food and throw up. And so as this would happen, they would start telling me, you're not going to throw up, because if you do, you're going to have to eat it. And that of course heightened my anxiety. And so that now pretty much every time I would eat, I would be, you know, I probably vomited like 50 times the first couple weeks I was there. It was insane. It was a whole, like, everybody that was there knew that I was pretty much the girl that would vomit all the time.
Okay. We're going to be right back. And thank you very much.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
they want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the Trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Bushu comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Creator X on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, with Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Madison Eli. So, Madison, there are more things that I want you to get into. So, basically, they thought you were bulimic, and they started punishing you and making you, it just sounds gross, I can hardly say it, but eat your vomit, right?
Yes, and I Okay, so basically this...
Well, kind of want to escalate this because I want people to be able to ask you questions. So they also put you through these weird routines, right? So can you say the routine and then also talk about being stood up to watch the wall, like within an inch of the wall for, I don't know, 6 days?
Yes, okay, so I will speed this up. So basically they diagnosed me as being bulimic because I was throwing up so much. The punishment started being you're going to have to eat it. And so I had to eat it a couple times. I, by the way, was not the only person there that had to eat vomit. There was other people. So I'm not like saying that, you know, it was happening for a lot of people. But I was kind of one that stood out as throwing up a lot. So that started happening to me. And then once they realized that the whole eat your vomit thing was still not working because I was still throwing up, they started having me have a punishment, which it was a standard practice there. It was called rincón, which in Spanish means corner. And basically all day from 6:45 in the morning until when they decide you can lay down on the concrete at nighttime and, you know, curl up and try and sleep if you can. It can go till 11, 12, 1 in the morning. But from 6:45 in the morning, I would have to stand against the wall. My feet were together. My nose was just a couple inches away from the wall. I had to have my left hand behind my back, grabbing my right hand as if they were in handcuffs made by me. And basically, they come up when you're in this. They don't let you brush your teeth. My longest punishment of that was 8 days. So for 8 days, I couldn't brush my teeth. I wasn't allowed to use toilet paper when I went to the bathroom. I couldn't have a hair tie. They would give me hardly any water because they said I was just going to throw it up, and I was just absolutely dehydrated and totally thirsty. At one of the points when I had this punishment, I kind of had bent my kneecap a little bit when they were in prayer because you can't move at all when you're in this. You have to stand as still. I mean, you move your head a little bit, you get in trouble. You move your arm a little bit, you get in trouble. You try and bend your leg a little bit to get, you know, some stretching in, you get in trouble. So I moved my knee just a little bit because it had been dislocated when I was a kid and it was in pain. And one of the madrinas there turns around and basically says, "That's it," and makes me get down and kneel on a broomstick until, you know, I was in so much pain that I could not even take it anymore. If you try kneeling on a broomstick for a minute, it hurts, let alone just doing it for an hour or more. I lost track of time. But other things that they would have me do when I was in this punishment, that night especially, I remember I had to sleep over in the guy's dorm, and that was a punishment because they don't let you go to the bathroom in the nighttime. So I was, I basically woke up in the middle of the night, and I had to go to the bathroom so badly I couldn't even hold it anymore. And one of the guys that was running the show there goes up and goes to the bathroom. And when he gets back, I ask him, like, "Please take me. I can't hold it. Like, my bladder's going to explode. I had to pee so bad. It was just absolutely unreal." And he was like, "No, you know what your madrina said. You can't." And so after he fell back asleep, I watched from the other room for the guard to pass by the window. And when he did, I ran over and I just had to pee on the floor. The dogs were peeing on the floor there so I could get away with it and pass it off as the dog. And I had to pee so bad that I had to actually wait, pee a little bit, and then run back and lay down, pretend I was sleeping again, and watch for the guard to pass by and then run and keep peeing. And, you know, you just don't even care. You don't even care. It's just you're, you know, in this panic state. And so basically when you're in there, you know, you're getting hit by the guys, by the girls. They're throwing things at you. You know, you basically have no rights. And before you do anything, including walks, you know, step forward, take a bite of food, anything you do, you have to say, "Soy en exhala, vale verga, que se pasa en el exa por debajo de la pucha," which I won't translate, but it's basically a horrible, horrible things to say to yourself and about yourself. And it's just all part of this demoralizing you, dehumanizing you, telling you that everything your brain says is wrong, you're stupid, no one misses you, no one cares about you, you know, your family knows what's happening to you here. By the way, when I got out, my family claimed that they didn't know what was happening to me there. They were told that I was at a spa, and it's not true.
Okay, and so can you talk about what the psychology of what they were doing? They thought, in other words, the other people there, their ages ranged from...
That's something I want to talk about. Right before I got out, there was a kid, I don't know his exact age, but he looked like he was about 9 years old. And I remember when he came in, we were, like, me and there was another woman there, she was She was in her 50s. She's a Canadian woman who got tricked into it as well. But we were just, you know, we couldn't talk at all. You couldn't talk to anybody because they knew you'd try and revolt or run or something. You were always being watched and monitored. And yeah, this there was everyone there from, you know, like I said, this 9-year-old kid to, you know, people in their 60s. And by the way, the people that ran the group were sexually inappropriate with the girls there.
Okay, and describe some of the stuff, you know.
For instance, there was one girl who got sent there when she was about 13 or 14, and her parents were worried she'd get pregnant. One of the guys running the place got her pregnant. The guy that was running the place, when I got there, the police came looking for him because he had raped two girls that had come forward and, you know, wanted justice about it. And so then, you know, the group protected him, and now he's not at the group place anymore because that's, you know, where it occurred, but he's still a part of the group. He actually got one of the girl who made me kneel on the broomstick, he got her pregnant, so now they're a couple, I suppose. And there's, you know, there was another girl who, I won't name her name, but she got there right before I left, and she just got in contact with me. She just got out about a month ago, or even less than that, and she was telling me some more things that were happening, how they're, you know, working with the governments, you know, bribing money to keep this place in operation. They're opening up new clinics. They're trying to bring, they brought her over the border illegally. They're trying to start one in Tijuana now so that they can easily take Americans down there if they need to. And they totally lie to the parents, completely lie to people's parents, absolutely feed them. And then when you're in there, they're telling you, don't tell them what happened to you here. You've already hurt them enough. And just completely brainwashing you, saying that, you know, you deserve this. You deserve this treatment. And it's not true at all.
Okay. And tell them how you got out of there. And you have to do it quickly because, unfortunately, we don't have much time.
Yes. Okay. So basically, My family, I guess, started realizing that I had to get out eventually, and they started kind of asking around to pull me out, and they were telling them, no, she's not ready, she's not ready. Their whole thing about not being ready is they want to secure that you're going to stay with the group before they release you. But I was going to say real quick, the girl who just got out recently was telling me about a lot of horrible things that were happening to her, them touching her, you know, in all these different places on her body, pushing her over and pretending to do, you know, gross things to her. It's just, it's completely dehumanizing and wrong. But yeah, Carrie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, I got out because my family started realizing she's going to have to get it pulled out eventually. It was December 7th of 2011 when they pulled me out. They brought me to a place called Acedlan, and had me put me up on stage and had me talk about my experience and basically pretend like it was all good. And then they brought me, my parents came and got me, my dad and my brothers came and got me. And when I got out, when I got in there, I started playing the game. I started submitting, saying, I need this. This is good for me. I love the group. I want to be part of this. Thank you for sending me there. All these things. And I was slightly brainwashed. When I got out, I'll admit, I did slightly think that that was right. And that was pretty much my only defense mechanism in order to go back and live with my family. And in January, I moved down to Southern California getting help. And now I'm kind of off on my own trying to make my own way, breaking away from my family and all of that because, you know, they're very into controlling me.
Okay. So thank you very much, Madison. And I really appreciate you, you know, telling your story and sharing it with everyone here. I think that people will understand. I just want to put this out as a warning to parents who may be confused about how to deal with their children. And also that basically the prejudice that society has against people that are starting to wake up. You have to understand when a child wakes up at a young age, how that is viewed as rebellion in society, and they may not have the wherewithal to be able to fight the oppression around them, and so they act out or they do whatever they do. And then, of course, these sort of dreadful places existing in Mexico which are taking advantage of children and their parents, for that matter. So I guess we have people, someone who wants to know if you're in contact with any ETs at this time.
Yeah, they communicate with me a lot. I have telepathic messages, and basically there's a no contact on humanity right now, and I'm working on breaking my contract with the government, which ever since April 19th of 1989, it became a religious nonprofit. So all the bodies are basically owned by them according to law and business, and the ETs, they don't infringe on free will. So until I've been able to clear my legal status, I'm not going to be able to physically do business. But yes, very, very soon we will be.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Basically, I'm completely in contact with them, and I know that ETs are ready to, you know, basically be a more positive aspect in our life, because right now, is, you know, as we know, and I know on your show, it talks about how we are in business with Mars.
Okay, so people can go to her Facebook page, which is under the bio, which is also in the show archives, under Madison Eli, and hopefully we'll hear from her again in the future. I want to wish you the best of luck, Madison, and thank you for having the courage to come on the show. I do think this is a cautionary tale for parents who are unknowing and are not awake themselves, who may be oppressing their kids. And people need to look into these organizations that are then taking advantage of the children. So, Madison, do you want to say any parting words?
Yeah, I will just say that, like I kind of was mentioning a second ago, there's a manipulation going on where people think that they own our human bodies, and that's kind of a big part of the alien agenda. And, you know, places like this exist to keep us from our truth and keep us from ourselves.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.